and welcome to the T3 podcast, your weekly dollop of all that's good and true, or at least poor and opinionated. Coming up on this week's show, it's not the Daily Telegraph, it's not the Daily Mail, and it's definitely not the Daily Star. It is the Daily, and we have it here! Hooray! Also this week, white iPhones are coming, really, but then so is the iPhone 5 and the iPad 2, rumours abound. Android Honeycomb gets the official launch treatment, and find out which handheld you voted will come out top, the 3DS or the PSP 2. Plus, Ree's been playing with the Atrix, all that, and more, if we can find it. And I've already found some co-hosts, the lovely Ree Morgan, Adam the Boy Bunker, and the man whose poop don't smell. It's T3's Mr. Duncan Bell. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. Welcome.
Welcome to you. What a great intro.
Willkommen.
Willkommen.
Completely smooth
it was
intro.
Seamless.
Beautiful. I see you've come wearing a Canadian tuxedo this week.
Yes,
then.
I've done
all denim.
Denim to toe.
Denim on denim.
You like the male addition to Bewitched.
I didn't think about it till.
See, maybe slightly show my age. I was going to say Bryan Adams, but
I could be
male addition to
Bewitched.
Bewitched.
The new
very good.
Yeah. New band. Yeah, Adam, you in?
I think we should stop doing this podcast now.
Because we're going to be millionaires with Bewitched.
Yeah. I think we've confused all our elderly viewers of our really hip and contemporary musical reference points.
I know. I sometimes surprise
Watches
myself.
All our you and yours people that started listening last week.
More on that later. Anyway, Dunk, I've already heard you chuntering in the office today. What has been ailing you?
Curry last night. That was a terrible joke. I do apologize. I'm feeling quite I've actually got something right for a change, maybe.
Yeah.
Because maybe I put it in a slightly flippant way last week when I said because the Egyptian men will not be able to look at porn, they'll be more likely to go out and riot.
Right.
But it does seem to me that the kind of revolution or whatever you want to call it in Egypt, it doesn't seem to have suffered from a lack of internet. In fact, if anything, it seems to have encouraged more people out of their bedrooms, away from tweeting Mubarak must go, and into sharing at the streets and throwing
things
at each other.
So this revolution is being led by spotty teenagers. Is that what you're suggesting?
I don't want to be too flippant about it, because obviously it's very serious because people are being killed and what have you. But if we look at it more in terms of the way people overseas have reacted to these things. In Iran, they had an attempted overthrowing of a kind of repressive regime. A lot of people in the West got very excited because they were all mobilizing using Twitter. There was lots of tweeting going on. Complete failure.
Yeah. Not actual people on the streets.
There were people on the streets, but people maybe overestimated the power of social media to affect change when it involves taking on, you know, kind of evil men with guns. Whereas in Egypt, which, okay, is a less kind of repressive government than Iran, seems to get a lot better.
Yeah.
And they haven't had access to the internet.
Although they've had speak to tweet.
Yeah, that's quite a funny idea. You can phone, like the old pages.
Yeah,
the good old days of pages.
Revolutionary Twitter have
dictate your tweet.
Yeah, you can. They have a special service, so you can call up and they'll take your tweet if you're in Egypt, that is, and tweet it to the world.
You've got to really want to tweet to do that.
Well, if you're under fire from Molotov cocktails in Tahrir Square, then maybe tweeting.
I've got a friend who's just gone out there on holiday on like the kind of worst timed holiday of all time. I wonder if she'll kind of use that to just go. Oh, the weather's really nice.
I'd love to be there.
Surely the shortfall of Twitter's noble action there is that nobody in Egypt can actually read any of the tweets. Or do you dial up and somebody reads out all the tweets?
Who knows?
Maybe.
Every single tweet in the world is read out to you.
What's Ashton Kutcher doing? I must know.
It's a premium rate line. Yeah, could be arranged. Excellent. Well, on to our top story. And if T3 was the iPad's first UK magazine, the US now has its first dedicated iPad newspaper, The Daily, launched on Wednesday, promising over 100 pages of original news, life, entertainment, opinion for less than $1 a week. As the name suggests, it comes out daily. We have The Daily here.
We do.
Today's edition, that is Thursday's. What do we make of it? You managed to have a play around with this?
Yeah.
Yes.
So?
It looks really slick. It looks really good.
There's lots of it.
There's 100 pages for you to read every day.
I'm not saying, for nothing. Quantity equals quality, but
yeah. The front page today is The Big Dig. Nation takes a pounding from Epic Storm, ignoring the more Epic Storm in Australia, perhaps. But what's nice is that the front page picture kind of moves, as yeah. it were. So
it's animated.
Sort of, yeah, it's slightly animated, so it feels dynamic.
Hmm.
Gifford's touching video, which points to the fact that there is video content in here, and like in all newspapers.
Not perhaps as much as you might think. In fact, I wonder if perhaps they spunked a lot of the video content yesterday, because all the reviews of the first issue were saying, oh, it's not actually that much like a magazine or newspaper, because there's so much video, it actually becomes something else. But this issue, the second issue, to be honest, is very much like a magazine
video, didn't
or newspaper.
Yeah, there wasn't a terrific amount. It's
around.
Very photo-heavy. So there are a lot of those 100 pages are big photographs, essentially.
Hmm.
I've got to be honest, it's far better than I was expecting.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more like a magazine than I was expecting, and it's a decent magazine. There's a decent mix of stuff.
That's it. It feels a bit more like The Economist than, you know, the
It's kind of lighter, though, isn't it? It's nicer than
more
the
like
I don't mean necessarily in tone, but in kind of in layout and gravity. It doesn't feel like a newspaper.
No. I suppose it's although we're saying daily newspaper, it does feel and read more like a daily magazine. But I thought it was surprisingly good. And it doesn't seem to have any big name columnists, any big name writers. I don't recognise the names of any of the journalists, but it's
they've got 100.
The content's quite strong.
They've got 100 journalists.
We would need quite a lot.
One per page.
100 pages per. maybe that's how they do it. Steve, you're on page 57.
Whoever did that one, had a great day at work. That's just got a picture of a gopher on it.
It's a groundhog.
It's Groundhog Day.
Was Groundhog Day. Apparently, on an aside, the groundhog's never been wrong. It's predicted in early spring this year.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Well, they'll be hoping for that, judging by the front page story, which is about the fact that the entire eastern side of America
is still under
10 feet of snow.
In my ignorance, I didn't realise it was only like a US-only thing until yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, did they announce if they're going to bring it?
They've said they might make it international at a later date, but in the same way that the New York Times is international.
It's very American. It'd be interesting to see a British equivalent. I suppose a British equivalent would be something like maybe something like the London Light that we used to get in London, the sort of evening, or do I mean the London Light? The one that was quite good,
London
the evening
paper.
Free
London
papers.
The editors sort of said, because Murdoch was asked, it's a Rupert Murdoch newspaper, and he was asked, you know, is this going to be a little more centrist than your usual publications? And he said, oh, that's up to the editor. And the editor just said, well, we're pro-American. Like this. So,
we're very patriotic.
I wasn't getting a feeling of right wing bias.
I wasn't
going
to. No, I wasn't. Neither kind of, you know, loony lefty or anything like that. It seems pretty much down the middle.
Well, the main leading article is written by somebody who does appear to be a sort of a climate change
guru.
Has a non-orthodox point of view on climate change, shall we say.
That's right up Murdoch Street, really, isn't
but,
it?
What with half of America being under 10 foot of snow, there probably is quite a number of people who would be questioning global warming at this point. But I think a decent magazine. And then when you think 99 cents a week, what's that in real money? Like 75p or whatever?
It's cheaper than our cheapest quality newspaper, which is the I.
It's still tantalisingly 75 pence more expensive per week than something that costs nothing. Like the Metro or like anything like most of the newspapers whose websites you can obviously access.
But it's in that realm of, a dollar a week, you know,
who's
going to miss it?
I think that almost
75p a week, you're not, if you've bought an iPad anyway, let's face it, a luxury kind of item anyway.
Yeah, and you want something to do with it.
You justify the cost.
You've read T3 iPad edition.
Obviously.
So you're just listlessly casting around for something to do with the rest of your time.
Yeah, it's not as good as the T3 iPad edition.
75p, I suppose that would almost come under what you might call a micro payment, which was the big idea of the internet about 5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, there's, as I mentioned, a lot of photographs. And in the news stories as well, this could be an opportunity for a lot more photojournalism, because obviously in, you know, the Telegraph or whatever, you have the main picture and then maybe one smaller picture. But, you know, whereas this, you've got a main picture, you click on it, and then suddenly, you know, there's like half a dozen others all related, you know, really quality, high quality. There's so much good photojournalism out there that doesn't really see the light of day, you know, and this is a real platform for it. And also, what was quite interesting as well from a sort of media point of view was there's a bit here from Joshua Hirsch in Cairo, and he's written a pretty standard length piece from Tahrir Square, but he's also been done a phone, kind of an interview on the phone back to, so if you press this.
This is a brief conversation I had with our correspondent on the ground, Josh Hirsch, earlier in the day.
We were up there near the front lines as the pushing and shoving and screaming.
And you get Josh Hirsch, and it's, which is nice. My only criticism of this is you've got, it's page by page format. Let me stop Joshua Hirsch. If I can look at the photograph on that page and Joshua Hirsch continues speaking, if I go over the page to look at more photographs as he's speaking, he stops. You know, things like that aren't quite plumbed in beautifully. But
But then with a lot of the video, you want it to stop when you flick the page. So it's
possibly.
I think I'd be more upset if I continued to flick through and, you know, the advert for Rover or whatever continued to plow on in the background.
But it's within the same article. You'd want it, I guess, to.
If it's audio only.
For the length of that article.
Yeah, I'd want to be able to look at the other pictures in the article.
No, I suppose.
Because otherwise, if you're on the tube, people just think you're just staring at a picture of some kind of dead guy in Egypt.
On the ground videos as well. My favourite story in there was about, and here's something you don't hear about very often, Amish unpasteurised milk smuggling.
Yeah.
Right.
Which sounds like I've just taken five words and randomly put them together. But that actually was what
you're going
about.
For a Google whack with that.
Well, unpasteurized milk is illegal in America, and for some reason the Amish have taken it upon themselves to... Well, they have farms.
Because they're not fans of pasteurizing.
And they're against pasteurizing, I suppose. Yeah, and so they
don't like Louis Pasteur.
Well, there's a video of a guy, an Amish guy, and obviously they don't use cars, so he takes his horse-drawn cart from the countryside all the way to upstate New York to sell his unpasteurized milk to what one might politely call New York hipsters. That's just a very interesting story.
Yeah,
I So, there's a picture of an FBI man with a gun arresting
the people with milk.
Arresting the milk smugglers.
What, because he's crossing, was he crossing a state border?
No, because unpasteurized milk is by and large
it's
illegal.
A federal,
it comes under the FDA.
What's their beef with pasteurized milk?
Unpasteurized milk.
No, what's the Amish's problem
natural,
with it.
Natural.
I think it's something to do technology, with it being from the modern world.
Yeah. They're not.
Unfortunately, my knowledge of the Amish community ends pretty much with my viewing of the film Witness in the mid-80s, so I can...
Anyway, plenty more where that came from. So let me say, here is the news. The white iPhone is coming! A Pocket Lint has it from an insider source that the long-awaited 4th-gen Blur will hit UK stores at the end of March, precisely 2 months before China's Commercial Times claims Apple will be ramping up production of the upcoming iPhone 5, readying it for a June or July launch.
Meanwhile, an iPad 2 has apparently been spotted by Reuters at the daily launch, sporting a front-facing camera above the screen. New reports also suggest a 1.2 GHz dual-core processor, half a gig of RAM, and a thinner but same resolution 9.7-inch screen. That'll make it more powerful than the Zoom, but with a lower-res screen and less memory.
After its appearance on the Zoom at CES, Google has officially launched Android 3.0 Honeycomb. The completely new tablet-friendly UI features a new multitasking system, fantastic use of 3D graphics and animations, and a new video chat alternative to FaceTime. As well as the Zoom, it'll be coming on the Samsung Galaxy S2, teased in a Galaxy Tab 2, I should say, released in a video this week and expected to be unveiled on Sunday ahead of Mobile World Congress.
LG and T-Mobile have also unveiled their tablet offering, the LG Slate 3D. You'll need glasses to enjoy the extra dimension, but you'll also get dual cameras for HD 3D video. But in even bigger news,
my God,
LG's also confirmed its glasses-free 3D smartphone that we'll be getting our paws on in Barcelona next week. I can't wait.
Oh, yes, we will. There's no love lost between Google and Microsoft. The big G's labelled the big M's Bing a cheap imitation of its own service following a bit of cross-platform sleuthing. Google used nonsensical Google wax, such as hip gag, to find that Bing was returning the exact same results as its own system, leading to accusations of algorithm plagiarism. Try saying that three times. Microsoft dismissed it as a creative tactic by a competitor, adding it was taking it as a backhanded compliment.
Speaking of competition, you've been telling us who you think will win the handheld console battle. In an impossibly close poll, the PSP 2 has come out on top, edging out the 3DS by 52% to 48%. That is so close.
Super close. So basically, you could have basically, you know, add you like white bread or brown bread and, you know, anything else. Mm. It's just a complete 50-50 split, really, isn't it?
It is.
No, it's a 52-48 split.
Very good.
So,
but allowing for statistical stuff.
T3.com's the guy who tweets, who's like, oh, it's a resident grumpy git on matters computer game related. He tweeted about that a couple of times. So, I don't see how anyone could say they prefer the Nintendo 3DS.
Oh, is he the one who always bashes the Xbox?
Well, he always constantly. I don't really know. I've lost track of what he does and doesn't like, but he's always in a very bad mood about everything. Yeah. He was the one who said we had that list of games that had sold loads. Yeah. He was like, this list sickens me.
To the core.
I mean, okay, wow. It was quite a crap list. But
yeah, yeah. Fair dues.
Didn't make me physically ill.
Anyway, time to see what sane people have been tweeting to at T3DOTCOM. Duncan, two for you.
Well, Adam Parton says, listening to T3.com's podcast, Duncan is an utter legend, hilarious swearing, with posh fans potentially listening, shouldn't have bleeped. Mm. Well, I think it's funnier if you bleep, really.
Possibly.
Yeah. That just makes me sound like some kind of coarse oof. That's the thing, because now anybody reads that going, oh, like, yeah, Duncan, he swears, that's all he does. Which is kind of true. And then Lord Otter says, oh, yeah, no matter how low the tone of a conversation is, you can always rely on Henry to actually make it lower. He says, as a you and yours listener, I'd like to know why Mr. Duncan Bell made a beep noise instead of saying cund.
Yes, I think that's what you were trying to say, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Good.
I think I was saying...
No.
I wasn't saying anything actually as rude as that. It was reasonably rude.
Okay.
Not as rude as cund. I mean, that's the rudest word.
Goodness. Adam.
Yeah, Steve Spencer, 35, otherwise known as Stephen Spencer.
Wonder how old he is.
Says, well, it depends on when he made the Twitter account.
Oh, he could
account.
Be the 35th. Yeah.
Oh, no. Listen to what the tweet is.
Go on.
Just heard my name being mentioned on the latest podcast. I feel fortunate that no Mickey was taken out of my unoriginal Twitter name.
Damn.
Well, we weren't taking the Mickey. We were just... So was he born in 1935 or possibly. Is he 35
Almost
years
definitely,
old?
Yeah.
What happens when he turns 36?
Almost definitely born in 1935. Yeah. So he's 80?
Yeah.
Right.
Let 75. Us know. Steve, let us know.
Hmm. 76, possibly.
76. If you can get out of your Zimmer frame.
Ree.
You always give me the... hard names. R35TY.
Resty. Yeah.
Resty Solistia. Solistia, sorry if I've said that wrong. I'll still holding on until white iPhone 4 come out, hoping for it badly. Deadstock NYC. Is this a different person?
Yeah.
All right. Deadstock NYC, deadstock in the city. Huh? Who wants a white iPhone 4 with the 5 only 2 to 3 months out? The moment has passed. LOL.
Lol. Yeah, I think Resty is saying she is holding on for the white.
How do you know it's a she?
Well,
Resty's a girl's name, isn't it?
Yeah,
we all know that.
I've no idea. I'm still holding out until the white iPhone 4 comes out. Hoping for
and
it badly.
Then deadstock is
just completely slams that by saying the iPhone 5. Who is really waiting, apart from Resty, waiting for iPhone 4?
Why? Flamboyant homosexuals. iPhone's always big.
An iPhone 4 in Essex. And get some Tippex and go to town on it yourself.
Actually, you can do it yourself. You can get a kit imported. Yeah, it's very warranty.
Yeah, that like 17-year-old New York.
I think he was younger than that. I think it was about 13 or something.
Making an absolute bomb on it.
Yeah.
Well, fair play to the man.
Lynx Poacher. I told the wife the new T3 mag had a feature on kitchen tech for her to read and got that look. I'm now hiding in the garage.
Oh, dear.
Quite right, too.
It's right up there.
You end up like Richard Keys if we're not careful, reading out tweets like that.
Because women like kitchen stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh. They do. They don't know the offside rule.
I'm in trouble from the wife.
Just don't mention Mexicans.
Hey,
we're in trouble.
Dunk, would you smash it?
Would you? Yeah.
Would I smash what? T3 magazine? I can't. It's made of paper. I could tear it.
The iPad edition, you could smash that.
I'd be hanging out the back of it, probably.
Oh.
No, it's got no inputs.
Stop impossible. It!
And I see Andrew Cunningham asks, have you got a web show on YouTube or are you planning one?
Well...
Web show? That's a new
not
one I made.
Yet.
No. Yeah, there was video blog. Ago. Didn't Chris before he left?
The video podcast.
The video podcast.
Whatever you want to call it.
Podcast.
Yeah. It's, It's been pending for almost as long as humanity has been going.
I just don't think it'll be very interesting to watch us talk.
We're all too good looking for cameras to be able to kind of deal with as well. Yeah.
Well, I think we'd have to come up with a different format.
We'd have to come up with
3D.
We'd have to do exciting sort of stuff. We'd have to go out of the studio and do things.
I'd have to interact with people.
Yeah, you know.
That never ends well. So, no. Yeah, no, I think that's still something that's being worked on, planned maybe for some point in the future.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Watch this space.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not very good.
But we have got a YouTube channel.
Do other things as well.
TV.com has got a YouTube channel.
Yes, yeah. With because we do put out a lot of videos.
Yeah, we've got video coming out of our ears.
Yeah. Which is all on T3.com or on our YouTube channel. Anyway, what have we got for Gadget of the Week? Feel the bass on that.
That was extra kicking this week. Bloody hell.
Bass boost going on.
This week, the gadget of the week is the Motorola Atrix.
Hey, which I have played with.
Did you think of it, Dan?
I couldn't... As I said at CES, it's mighty powerful and impressive. I just can't see anyone really buying all this paraphernalia.
Yeah. It's all the docks, isn't it? Yeah. There's like 5 different docks that you have to...
Great proof of concept. Slightly flawed.
I think as an idea, it's kind of it will take on. It will become kind of commonplace.
Yeah.
This idea of being able to use your phone as a computer and take it with you and stuff. But yeah, perhaps not in this case.
Not the way they've
done it.
Being
an early adopter might not work so well.
It's not going to fly, I don't think, but it's...
The problem is the physical dock. Basically, the phone, whatever you plug it into, the phone sticks out of, which isn't so much of a problem with the desktop setup. You know, you've got a keyboard, got a monitor, and a little thing that you plug the phone into, and it turns the keyboard and the monitor into a computer. Great. The laptop version, you've got this dumb laptop, which is slightly bigger than a netbook, perhaps, and you plug the phone into it, and it kind of sticks out at an angle, and looking very vulnerable to my eye. And if you take the phone out, this dumb laptop is then completely useless. It does nothing.
I don't understand why they didn't put some more work into it and make it all wireless, because then you could just have the phone in your
pocket. That was my question to them, and they said, if we do it this way, you can charge your phone at the same time. So there's batteries in the laptop thing and it charges the phone, which is complete bollocks, basically.
I think also it's because the technology just isn't quite there yet. Yeah. I think it's fundamentally misunderstanding.
Palm came up with the technology in that ill-fated, I can't remember what they called it.
Stone,
now.
Wasn't was it? Pebble?
No, that was their little charging dock. Oh, right, but they had basically exactly the same idea, but it worked wirelessly with the Palm.
But you need to be able to send high-def video wirelessly, for instance, to a screen larger than a netbook screen.
Yeah, that would be tricky. But
the TV dock looked all right. That worked to use. It's just that laptop, which is what you would probably use.
You know, if it's stationary, a dock works.
I can
kind of get portable.
I can get the whole using it as a cheap desktop computer thing and the TV thing. I find it interesting they've gone for a laptop dock as opposed to having like an empty dummy tablet that you can slot the phone into. Because that seems like a more logical use.
That would have worked better as well. It's the way it just hangs off the back of it.
It looks strange.
It doesn't work.
Hmm. What would be great is if they did it where you can slot it into the front of, like, the bottom of a laptop, and then use the screen like a trackpad on a Mac.
You are so clever. Why would you not go to that? Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, but again, only for... It's not an idea that's going to fly, ever.
I think it will fly.
It's not mass consumer.
No, I do. I think it will fly when Apple do it. I think if they bring one out, iPhone, that will turn into a Mac.
Everybody always says that. I don't see Apple doing it.
But the other thing is...
Apple understands the difference between mobile devices and non-mobile devices. This is trying to be both at once.
The other slight problem, it's been proved
over and over again that you can't be both at once. You need a different operating system.
The slight problem that Motorola is now going to find itself in is it's kind of the point of this phone is the fact that, oh, look, you can plug it in and it becomes a desktop. Whereas actually, it's completely obscuring the fact that it's a great phone. It's extraordinarily powerful. It's got a lovely screen on it, great camera, all those kind of things. And I think people are just going to go, oh, I don't need a phone that docks, and ignore it and go for, you know, LG's dual core or, you know, undoubtedly the Galaxy S2, you know, and that's going to be dual core, like that.
Well, like you say, it's more of a proof of concept than anything else. Mm. I mean, they can just take the tech that's in the phone part of the Atrix and make another phone, which people will say, oh, it's like that docking phone,
but it's just the phone bit.
Yeah, it'll be moderately cheaper. Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
But the whole idea of like slotting things into things, and it's just so 1980s. It's like, I feel embarrassed for even talking about it.
I like the idea in terms of if you're working on documents and stuff, because obviously it does turn into a different operating system, but it all stores your files on the phone.
Yeah, so it's quite
seamless. I like that idea of going, I'm on my phone, I'm on my computer, and everything you do is always saved onto one device.
But I want to do it in a cool kind of, you know, I flick my phone at the computer screen and up it pops, you know, something like that. That would be nicer.
Yeah.
Wow, still.
We had that remix.
Still banging.
So much louder than you.
Excellent. Anyway, the new T3 is out.
Yeah, it's on the shelves. Well, subscribers got it about a week ago. Mm. Yeah. Just rushing it out to people. And it is the 50 Gorgeous Gadgets.
Yep, in the shops.
Issue. The world's sexiest tech laid bare.
Yep, with a sexy lady who's adopting a sort of...
Unless you are a subscriber, of course.
I don't know what you'd call that stance. What would you call that
stance? What is she holding, Adam?
She's waiting for a bus.
Adam, tell me, what is she holding?
She's holding
her arms
my MacBook Air 11-inch.
No, I think you'll find she's holding my MacBook Air 11-inch.
Well, she's holding one. It doesn't matter whose it is. It could be her. Her MacBook Air 11-inch.
Can I just announce that I bought MacBook Air this week?
Yeah.
Did
that isn't yours, though.
No.
I thought you only bought one of them, kindly lent it to us to photograph.
I think it is actually mine.
Oh, really?
It is yours.
Oh, well.
Damn it.
Good work, Ed.
Mine's still not here.
And that's not a woman, that's me.
Hey!
She does look very unnatural.
Amazing what airbrushing can do. Yeah, I bought one. It's sat in a depot in Wembley at the moment, waiting to arrive.
That's what they told you.
I know. My brother-in-law's got one as well, and his arrived yesterday.
This woman's got like this sort of odd border around her, so she's picked out against the background, but it makes her look a bit like she's in Mortal Kombat. She's got that sort of 2D and yet 3D look to her. Mm. Looks like she should be ripping out somebody's lungs.
Well, not until you've enabled the blood cheat, obviously.
Someone in the team says she looks like she stood in a public toilet as well.
Well, her stance is quite peculiar.
Enough about where the model stood. What are the 50 most gorgeous, sexiest?
We haven't got
things?
Time to go through. You have
would
to
you
buy them.
Do you want me to reel them off?
No, not all of them. But what would be your sexiest?
I really like this flip clock.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's you know the little. Yeah. You often get small flip clocks. This is a very large flip clock, sort of 1970s retro style.
I see.
I'm a big fan of that. And actually, it's all really nice. Because a lot of the time, a lot of tech doesn't look that nice, and it's difficult to find 50 things that are really sexy. But everybody's up their game or something. Cause all of this stuff, I would say, actually is very attractive.
It is.
There's a nice bike, although unfortunately you have to go to Australia to buy it.
Damn.
But it's such a sexy bike, but it's actually called, the company that make it is actually called Sexy Bicycles.
And also,
and I can't argue with their name.
Yes, also in this month's your account of Tokyo, which is nice.
Oh yeah, well, regular listeners to the podcast will already know my account of Tokyo. But this is a slightly more written down version of it, really, I suppose you could say. And also, we've got a complete roundup of everything that was at CES.
Yes,
and we've pulled off the quite impressive feat of making it all look really sexy and good. Mm. We've basically taken CES, a lot of which is terrible, and distilled it down into about 20 or so pages of
goodness.
Unalloyed loveliness.
It does look like it was a successful show, if you look at them.
Yeah, I'd say so.
All right, well, on that bombshell, that is all we have time for. Remember, T3.com has all the latest. T3 is on the shelves and on the iPad, right next to the Daily. And we're on iTunes every Friday. Till next week, then. I've been Dan Maudsley, and you've been listening to the T3 Podcast.